Chapter 6, The Glory of the Gospel.
That man might not lose the blessed results of benevolence, our Redeemer formed the plan of enlisting him as his co-worker. God could have reached his object in saving sinners without the aid of man, but he knew that man could not be happy without acting a part in the great work. By a chain of circumstances which would call forth his charities, he bestows upon man the best means of cultivating benevolence, and keeps him habitually giving to help the poor and to advance his cause. By its necessities, a ruined world is drawing forth from us talents of means and of influence to present to men and women the truth of which they are in perishing need. And as we heed these calls by labor and by acts of benevolence, we are assimilated to the image of him who for our sakes became poor. In bestowing, we bless others, and thus accumulate true riches. It is the glory of the gospel that it is founded upon the principle of restoring in the fallen race the divine image by a constant manifestation of benevolence. This work began in the heavenly courts. There, God gave to human beings an unmistakable evidence of the love with which he regarded them. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See John 3:16. The gift of Christ reveals the Father's heart. It testifies that, having undertaken our redemption, he will spare nothing, however dear, which is necessary to the completion of his work. The spirit of liberality is the spirit of heaven. Christ's self-sacrificing love is revealed upon the cross. That man might be saved, he gave all that he had and then gave himself. The cross of Christ appeals to the benevolence of every follower of the blessed Savior. The principle there illustrated is to give, give. This, carried out in actual benevolence and good works, is the true fruit of the Christian life. The principle of worldlings is to get, get, and thus they expect to secure happiness. But carried out in all its bearings, the fruit is misery and death. The light of the gospel shining from the cross of Christ rebukes selfishness and encourages liberality and benevolence. It should not be a lamented fact that there are increasing calls to give. God in his providence is calling his people out from their limited sphere of action to enter upon greater enterprises. Unlimited effort is demanded at this time when moral darkness is covering the world. Many of God's people are in danger of being ensnared by worldliness and covetousness. They should understand that it is his mercy that multiplies the demands for their means. Objects that call benevolence into action must be placed before them, or they cannot pattern after the character of the great exemplar.